Sweep abuse the shameless outcome. Clear out in sheet and day in body. Sungation do make tail of argy. Drogon on dashing much impartial. Chedang Sagi Chagnama Tanchu Pardu Dagni Kyatsuchi Daki Chanyan Gipe Sanam Ki Dola Panchir Sange Duparsho
Sange
Chidang Sagi Chagnama Tangchu Bardu Bagni Katsuchi Daki Chinyan Yipe Sanam Ki Drala Panchir Sange Duparsho Chidang Sagi Chagnama Tangchu Bardu Dagni Katsuchi Dagi Chinyan Kipe Sanam Ki Rola Penche Sange Rupasho.
You're not allowed to sit on your teacher's cushion, so
it's weird.
Okay. So we'll meditate, and then I'll talk a little bit. It's short, so okay. Everybody, close their eyes. So once you take your posture, try not to move. I'm a fidgeter, so I find this quite difficult, but we'll just all try together. And then come to watch your breath. Just focus on the tip of your nose and feeling the breath coming in and out. And in front of you, picture someone you know who you love a lot, someone you have some very strong feelings towards, who's in some sort of suffering now. Could be, you know, some sort of physical suffering. Could be mental. They could have a problem with depression or drug abuse or something like that. And then just see them in front of you and try to really feel their presence, like that you're almost sitting knee to knee. So if you start to fly off the object of your meditation, remember that this person that you love and care for, who's in some maybe tremendous or just mild amount of pain, they're sitting in front of you and they're counting on you. Then we're going to go to our Muladhara chakra. That's the one at the bottom where the perineum is. And then just spend a little bit of time trying to find that spot. Probably, you know, if your mind goes exactly to that spot, you'll feel a little pulsing because your prana goes where your mind goes. Then once you've found that spot on yourself, find that spot on your friend. So everything I say for this meditation that you should do for yourself, you should also visualize for your friend, okay? So it's like your friend's inner body is going to be sort of like a mirror of your own. So now go inside that Muladhara chakra on yourself and your friend, and there's like a vein of energy flowing there. Like water in glass. Now see that your breath and your friend's breath are linked together. So when you inhale, they inhale. And when you exhale, they exhale. Then as both of you inhale, this energy goes up through your central channel, which is an inch away from the backbone, and then flows up to the Ajna chakra, which is between your eyebrows, about an inch back. And then as you exhale, it goes back down both of your central channels to the Muladhara chakra. And if you're more comfortable flipping it, then that's fine. You can do it that way. And then we'll sit here for a while. And work as hard on your friend's energy as on your own. And see that your energies are linked together. If you start daydreaming, come back to you and your friend. you start to feel like you're dozing off, look at your friend again and remember what it is that's wrong with them and see that this meditation is going to help them. Okay, you can come back to your breath. And open your eyes. You guys are really good. It feels different when I sit over there. I had this like, I was getting like shock waves of prana coming this way. That's awesome. Cool. Oh, so strange teaching a class where nobody can talk back to me. Oh my goodness. I always like to do discussions. Okay. So I asked Geshe Michael what I should discuss after the meditation and he went. So I get all these notes, you know, in these boxes. So I have sort of like a little current on what's going on through your minds. I can't read anybody's mind, but you write things down. Some of you write a lot of things down. I know because I recognize the handwriting on a lot of the notes. And what's very interesting I don't know if this person's in the room, and I'm terribly sorry if I offend you, but I don't know who you are, and you'll always remain anonymous unless you tell me who you are, so I don't mean to pick on you. We could talk about my mental afflictions later on tape if it makes you feel better. But this person was talking about sort of, they felt that things were, you know, a little unclean. They felt the snack table was a little unclean. Then they found like a hair in their food or something, not to gross you all out. And then they were talking and they said they felt like people smelled bad. And these were three different notes. And that in the yoga rooms, it was difficult for them because people had like underarm problems. So it's hot here, you know. I don't know, I showered twice yesterday. It didn't do anything. I hope, you know, it's good because I'm short, so I don't think it goes up. You know? Because I'm short, I smell a lot of people's armpits. I'm pretty much at like everybody's armpit. So I hear you, whoever you are, I hear you. I smell you too, probably. But it was interesting to me because it reflected a pattern that's going on in this person's life. Like, they found a hair in their food, which is their meal, which is one place. The snack table's too dirty for them, which is a second place. And then they're having this problem that they smell people, which means, you know, that people around them are dirty. So I just thought it was interesting to see this one pattern that's emerging in this person's life. And I don't know if this person sees that they have a pattern. Like, I recognize patterns in my life. I had some weird, I don't know. I have narcolepsy, and I really probably shouldn't drive at all. But I live in Phoenix, and now I'm like forced to drive because there's no public transportation, and it's 110 degrees. And I tried to walk to Starbucks once in 110 degrees and nearly died, seriously. So you don't have to drive. And so now I get like, when I'm overtired, I drive too fast, or I weave, or I turn into the wrong, I mean, I don't like go the wrong way, but I should be turning into this lane, but I turn into that lane. So I get pulled over a lot. That didn't happen to me before. Oh, you know, I always made my boyfriends drive for me, but the current boyfriend doesn't like to drive. So anyway, but so there is this pattern of getting speeding tickets and of getting pulled over by police. And then there is this pattern of me forgetting to pay a speeding ticket. And then there was a pattern of getting pulled over by a very mean cop. And then there was the fact that I had the suspended license I didn't know about. And then there was the getting the car towed and having my license taken away. And then there was like going to DMV and paying a gazillion dollars in fines. And then there was, what happened after that? Then I went to court. Then I had to pay more money in fines, and then I did community service, which is awesome. Everybody should have court-mandated community service. It's awesome. It finally made me get off my butt and do the community service mission Michael's been telling me to do. So I was like, this is a little suspicious, Your Honor. Who are you? Oh, there is also the pattern, if you ever look at my car accidents I've gotten into. I mean, you know, this driving thing. But then, you know, I was trying to get my car out of the pound and it was closed, and then I went and they wouldn't take my ATM card, and then I had to go to cash. And now I got this, so I have this like huge speeding ticket that I'm trying to fight because I actually think the cop radared the wrong person, but whatever. And then I got this letter in the mail that they've restricted my driver's license. And I'm only like allowed to drive to and from work, which is difficult because I live in Phoenix and I'm unemployed. So, although I said, you know, I'm gonna try to argue with the judge that I work for Geshe Michael 24/7, and we'll see how that goes. But so I'm having all these obstacles to transportation and trying to get somewhere. You see, if you put them, like individually, it's just like a little annoying thing, but if you put them together, it becomes a pattern, you know, and I think it's interesting to think about these patterns in our lives, and they could be like a terribly annoying thing, which, I mean, they really are. I mean, you know, if you're a person who's sensitive to like dirty things and you're at a retreat with like 135 people, you know, or it could be something that could teach you something, right? Like, I have to now start looking at my own behavior and start seeing, well, how have I been? I mean, I've had to go to DMV like 5 times. Do you know what that's like? I mean, you know, I've lost like 12 hours of my life in the Phoenix DMV, you know, and I have to keep going back to the court and dealing with the judge who doesn't like me. And, you know, so I think it's important. You can look at the sort of cycles that are happening in your life and things that might not seem related, but could be. And then, you know, then you can attack those karmas. Because sometimes, you know, if I got a lot of notes from people who wanted to see Geshe Michael, you know, so I have some idea of what's going on with people. I got a lot of notes. It's great. You know, from strangers. And also, you know, just last night, listening to the confessions, and in one way, you know, this feeling that we're all the same, you know? Like, you know, there are a couple of things that I heard that I was like, oh, I've never done that. But most of them, I'm like, yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I've done that. And if I haven't done, you know, capital T that, I've done it to some smaller degree. Like, in my life at some point, like, I've never cheated on someone, but I've walked down the street, you know, with my boyfriend when he, well, not the current one, but a different boyfriend. But, you know, look at some other cute boy out of the corner of my eye. I mean, I wouldn't want him doing that to some girl. That's a form of cheating, you know? So, that was very powerful for me last night to see that. And, you know, I can't speak for anybody else about how they approach the world and how they look at people. But I used to live in New York, so I got to see people all the time. You know, if you live in Phoenix, you don't really get to because you're in your air-conditioned car, and then you go to the supermarket, and you go to work, and you go home. But in New York, you're, like, on the subway with people. I mean, you just see too much of them. That's why nobody looks at anyone on the subway in New York, because, my God, you're just so sick of seeing people all the time, and you have no space. And you feel like if you look down into your book, you're alone. But really, in New York, people are present. I mean, you know, you're like going to third base with some stranger on the subway just because it's like rush hour. I don't even know what third base is anymore. I heard they changed. I don't know. It's probably something really dirty. Anyway, that's my point. You can't tell me my point. You can ask Patrick. This happens to me in class in Phoenix all the time. Oh, yeah. But so, you know, when I lived in New York and I had I didn't realize, but because living in Phoenix is a little lonely, I don't get to see very many people, but the sort of the great pleasure of seeing all these suffering people, or glowing angels, however, whatever world you're living in on that particular day. Or, you know, when you go to work or when you go to Walmart and you're dealing with someone, you know, a cashier who, like, doesn't know how to count the money, and you're standing there and you're kind of like, really? Like, I don't really understand why it's taking you 20 minutes to count my... I don't understand. It's like 2 fives and a 10. It's $20. Why is this taking you 20 minutes? You know, or you, like, go to Jack in the Box. You can tell what my eating habits are like. You go to Jack in the Box and you're like, I want the sausage and egg burrito, but I don't want the sausage. And it takes them 15 minutes to figure out how much to charge you, you know? And then there's, like, this constant sort of source of agitation in my life. Guess what that turns into? 10 hours at the DMV. Me not being able to get my car out of the pound. The judge who doesn't believe that I really wasn't going 55 miles per hour on a 25, because I just know that that's not respecting life, and I just don't live my life like that. I wouldn't do that, you know? So you can watch these things balloon. Really, it's exponential. I mean, it's just like Geshe was talking about with the acorn and the trees. Because I'm not really a person, like, when these things happen to us, like, if you're someone who has a lot of health problems, you know, or if you're someone who is always being cheated on, or if you're someone who just lost all your money with the stock market and you lost your 401k and all these things, I don't know. I had a very difficult couple of years, to tell you the truth, and confession in front of all of you. And I really started to think, well, maybe this karma thing isn't true. Because I've been on this path for 13 years. Like, I've been with Geshe Michael since before I graduated from college. And I feel like I've worked as hard as to my capacity. I mean, I'm not a very good practitioner or anything. I'm a terrible meditator. I should be better at this point, really. But to the best of my capacity, I've tried. And I'm like, well, why is this stuff happening? You know, but it's because of those little seeds that turn into, it's because of those oak trees. Oh, what are they? Yeah, because of the acorns that turn into the oak trees, you know. But then I was thinking, you know, what if instead of looking at the girl at the Walmart checkout line, instead of being annoyed that she can't count my change fast enough, you know, what if these subtle What if instead of, you know, these subtle irritations at the guy at the subway who, you know, is, you know, he's like really big and he's sitting in my seat. He's like half in my seat. And I'm like, dude, like, could you just like, come on, move over. You know, instead of looking at these people as like annoying and being like, God, I kind of hate you. What if I looked at every single person and just thought, I love you? Like, what kind of world would I create if every single person, the very first thought that I had when I looked at them was, I love you. You know, what kind of world would that be? And, you know, we go to all these Dharma classes and it's always, everybody's your mother. And I don't, I'm like, Rosa, or Dr. Moore, I mean, come on. Dr. Moore is my mom in my last life. I'm like, I don't relate to that. That for me is like very difficult. And I told you this story yesterday, which inspired me to tell the story today because I didn't know what else to talk about. My partner and I were, all this fast food, I'm going to tell you, these are my eating habits, I confess. So my boyfriend and I were driving through Phoenix and we were like starving and there's like nothing open late and there's no good vegetarian food and I really have to work hard to change. All help me please change Phoenix into a golden paradise. I feel like I'm living in the bowels of hell. Anyway, I really do. I really miss New York. So we're like there and we're outside and there's this cat and she's hustling. She's like hustling us for food. And I watch her hustling the other people. And I don't like cats. I'm a dog person. I'm allergic to cats. I feel like if you die, the dog will sit faithfully at your side till the fire department comes. The cat will wait till you're not moving and like eat your face. I've heard this happen. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know, if you were bigger, you'd be a tiger and you'd eat me. So you make me sneeze, you know. But Gunnar is really, he loves cats. It's like, you know, he must have been one very recently. So, not in a bad way, just, you know, anyway. So he starts feeding this cat and then I'm like, all right, let me try. I don't want to be like heartless or mean or anything. So he gives me like a little piece of chicken and I like give it to the cat. And like, she grabs it and she runs away. And I'm like fascinated, where's she going? You know, so we follow her through the parking lot and down into this drainage ditch. We don't actually go into the drainage ditch, but, you know, it's like down a hill and we go and we look and there's bars covering the drainage ditch. And we like peek inside with like a flashlight and there's little babies in there. She's got babies, you know, like four really cute babies. And I'm sure you all know where the story is heading. So we start stalking the cat. And we go back like every day. And at first it's Gunnar like, oh, we got to go feed the cat. We got to go feed the babies. We have to go make sure they have enough water. And I'm like, whatever. And then one day he doesn't say it. I'm like, we got to go feed the cat and the babies, you know. So we go and it's a very long drawn out story. And I don't have the time. But eventually the babies get kidnapped. They get taken. And the mom's like running around. And I mean, she's frantic. And she had like shown us her babies. She had like meowed and gotten them to come out of their drainage ditch and like, you know, nudge them towards us. And they were like all sitting on our laps and it was this like beautiful thing. And then sort of, it was kind of a little bit of our fault that the babies got stolen. And we felt, I mean, we were just like, I couldn't sleep all night. And then at like midnight, Gunnar goes out and like catches the mom, who we named Alma, because that means mommy. But this is very interesting. You see where the story is going. But so we decide, because I'm allergic to cats, and I still think she's going to eat me when I die, that we're going to take her to a note. Nancy's laughing. She's smiling because she knows I'm like allergic to cats, and she has the cutest cats, and I lived with her, and I always ignore them, right? So I was like, I don't want to scoop out the poop, Nancy. So we're like, well, we're going to take her to a no-kill shelter, but she's kind of underweight, and she's all, like, post-traumatic stress because she lost her babies. So we'll just hold on to her for a little bit. And then it was a few days, and then it's a few weeks. And I was like, God, I don't know. She's kind of attached to us, you know? And then, like, I don't really know a lot of people in Phoenix, and, like, she's, like, my best friend now. I'm, like, a crazy cat lady. So I take pictures of her on my phone. But I do. She's like one, two pictures of Geshe Michael, two pictures of Gunnar, and like 20 pictures of my cat. And sometimes one of my friends comes to me, I was like, come meet my cat, you know? But so I was on the phone with my mom one day, and I was like, she's like, so what do you do with the cat? Do you give it away yet? And I was like, well, no. And she's like, well, what do you mean? You hate cats and you're allergic. And I said, well, you know, mom, if I take this cat to this no-kill shelter, you know, she's kind of a grown-up. She was like a teen mom. Maybe she was like a year old when we got her. But like a toddler mom, I don't know. But I was like, she'll live in a little cage, and she'll spend her whole life there. And we took her, and it's kind of our fault her babies got taken. And, you know, she might have died out in that drainage ditch, but maybe she would have had a good life and been like a wild cat. We don't know. And I said, you know, Mom, if you're my kid, like if it was you, I wouldn't take you to the no-kill shelter and make you live in a kennel for like your whole life. I mean, it's like funny, but really, like, I was like, if this cat was my mother, would I want her to go live in this little box for her whole life? You know? And I was like, man, I really wouldn't. You know, and now I think, I can't see past lives or anything, but I feel maybe like she was my mom, because I watched the way that, like, Gunnar and I take care of her, and we can't even feed ourselves. I mean, like, with the fast food, right? Like, I can't, this is the best thing. There's all these meals, and they come to me, and I can eat. I swear, otherwise I eat, like, a donut once every 2 days or something. I can't even take care of myself. But we can take care of the cat, you know? So, I don't know, as far as everyone being your mother, I don't know, maybe you need, for me, I needed to have some sort of like visceral experience of it. You know, and a lot of people have problems with their mom. I had a really tough relationship with my mom. Then my dad died. Then I realized my mom's going to die one day. And then it's sort of, then it sort of shifted my relationship with her. But, you know, if you can't get to the point where you see everyone as your mother, which I really can't, okay, I can do it with a cute cat who can't talk or be annoying or anything. But, you know, maybe you could, like, look, like, everybody's my best friend. Everybody's my potential best friend. You know, like, I'm kind of shy, which people might not believe, but I don't really like big groups of people, and I feel a little, like, awkward and shy when I walk into a new group. And, but I think that's a fear that people are going to judge you or not like you or something. And that seed would come from not liking other people or from judging other people. So, you know, that kind of living your life like that with all these subtle agitations, like why aren't there utensils at the snack table, or why is it so hot in here, and, you know, why can't you open the windows? Just so you guys know, so I don't get any more things about the air conditioners, because I get like 50 a day, we can't open the windows. So sorry, but we're stuck. Okay. But, it's a subtle agitation, and it grows, and it turns into 100 hours at the DMV. You know, and not to, like, scare you or anything. I don't want to. But if things are happening in your life, like have been happening in my life in the last couple of years, which are very difficult, you have to, like, look at those small, subtle things that we're doing all day. And it's with the people at Walmart, and it's with the people at the bookstore, and it's with the guy in the car next to you who's like picking his nose, and you're like, that's gross, you know. It's these little tiny things all day, and I feel if we it's very easy to flip it. You just say I love you. You just make that your thing. With every single person you see during the day, your first thought is I love you. And even if your first thought is like not that, if your first thought is like, God, she shouldn't be wearing those pants, make it your second thought. And I'll tell you, I don't really, those thoughts, I'll tell you, you know, for me, I feel like I haven't made much progress on the path in all these years, but then I'll have a thought like that, like she shouldn't be wearing those pants, and then I think, man, I actually haven't had a thought like that in 5 years. Like, I don't really think like that anymore. And I'm on, like, the special needs track for Buddhism, so I'm not allowed to say the R word anymore, so... Special needs is okay. I'm like on the special needs track. So if I can do it, you know, then anybody can do it. And I think this practice wasn't given to me by any lama or anything like that, but I just sort of made it up. And I found that when I've been doing it, you know, I did it a few years ago and then I stopped, which is why now I have to spend the rest of my life at DMV and I'm not allowed to drive anywhere. But I think, you know, it just changes the way you see the world. You know, and if everybody's ordinary, then everybody's suffering. Like, you could tell from those, it was heartbreaking for me to listen to that stuff last night. You know, I was, like, crying, and then I was, like, about to start sobbing, and then I was like, oh, man, Rebecca, you got to keep it in. This is, don't embarrass yourself. But it was heartbreaking, right? Like, everybody's in so much pain. if everybody is who we, you know, seems to be a moral person, then whatever suffering you have, like, don't think you're special. Don't think you're special in your suffering. Like, everyone's got it bad. This place sucks. Like, the punchline to our lives is that we die. Like, that's the punchline. That's the end story. That sucks. Everybody around you is dying. You know? So if that's the case, why not love them? Because they really need it. Like, and we're all really good people, right? Like, where we came to this retreat, we had some inclination that we wanted to help. I mean, at least we wanted to help ourselves, for God's sakes. Most people just, like, honestly want to, like, eat themselves into oblivion, watch TV, and, like, be on Xbox, and, like, do bong hits for the rest of their lives. Like, at least we had some inclination. Could you imagine what that confession would have been like if you had taken a bunch of people from some high-rise corporate building in New York City? You know, and get some inclination of what the seeds in their minds are like. You know, so why not just love them? You know, and if everybody's an enlightened being out to save you, which is, like, so much less of a bummer to think about, then why not just love the people around you? Because all they're doing is serving you all the time and trying to get you enlightened. Yeah. I'm going to stop 2 minutes early. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys. Well, I got this note too late. I was supposed to slow down a little and speak more clearly, so I apologize. But you can get the audio. And maybe you can play it on slow-mo. Okay, let's do the dedication, and then I'll get into all these silly announcements. Where's my bag, speaking of silly announcements? Okay. Thank you, because I had I didn't know what I was going to teach when I walked in, so thank you. They say that the students pull the teaching out of the teacher, so I hope it was helpful.